And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The sing-along does not seem very enthusiastic.
Big D and Bubba, the podcast.
You know the thing?
Big D and Bubba, the podcast.
Yeah. Well, once again, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And we do have a new gold. It's one that Big D and I got from one of our peeps.
Hi, thank you, brothers.
Did we share that last week?
Yeah, we did.
We did?
Yeah.
Dang it, man. I used to load those up into the gold position because it has a very special position on my computer. But I would change those. And I would do it ahead of time. Now I'm doing it late, and I'm doing – that's two in a row that I've used the same gold in – and I also just touched my face, which is messing with me. Because ever since this whole coronavirus, don't touch your face, don't touch your eye, don't touch your nose, don't touch anything, I have found – like every time I go like that, I go – it weirds me out. Like it's weird. They're messing with me. They've planted a seed – of corona, which means I'm gonna get it.
You're fine.
I don't know.
You're fine.
I don't know. I am a first responder. I will be walking into situations where a lot of the people that I deal with have been touched by the corona. Just saying. I think out of all of us in here, I have the increased chances of exposure.
I don't know, because with the amount of concerts that I
you
attend.
Go to? That's true.
That I'm in big crowds of people.
That is true.
And the shows I go to, it's a lot of dirty people.
Yeah, Carson doesn't just go to country music concerts. She goes to some places with some...
What's the last five concerts you've been to?
Tesla last week. Wow. Ooh, this is going back?
Has it been that far for you?
I mean, normally I'm trying to figure out where I know. I'm trying to figure
slow,
out where I've been.
Slow couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know. Well, some of the five best that you've liked that you've of Garth
that I've gone to. I mean, Garth, of course.
Garth, and Garth.
Of course, Garth, and you know, there's a Def Leppard show that's among my favorite of all time, and Kiss is always spectacular. Iron Maiden, Sebastian Bach back in 2002. It was probably the best show I've ever seen.
What?
Yeah.
Mine
His voice
too.
Is insane. When he was in shape and when he was singing on Broadway, he did Jekyll and Hyde. His voice was top notch. He was phenomenal. So,
That's
Jeff
right.
Tate
sorry.
From Queensryche is coming, by the way.
I
meant to tell you
I
that,
sent
D.
it to Big D.
Okay.
I sent it to
come
him.
To town now, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't make any calls to get
Him in for Big
that.
D.
Let's get
he
him
He doesn't
in.
Like to do anything.
I like him.
Yeah,
sounds like your people.
He's your people.
Yeah, you know I saw them in concert.
I went to Sebastian Bach, and then I remembered, it's not him that I saw that was terrible. It was the guy that replaced
Johnny
him as
Solinger.
The lead singer of Skid Row.
Who was no longer with Skid Row.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Hired another replacement.
I saw Skid Row with, it was Kiss and
Ted Nugent.
And it was bad. It was bad.
Really?
Yeah, the guy sounded fine when he was
Johnny's
singing
good.
Songs I've never heard. But then when it came time to sing the hits that Sebastian Bach had made famous, this guy could not
who's that
hit
guy,
the notes.
Who's that guy from the movie Rockstar that came on stage at the end? Remember, he was supposed to be the kid?
He
walks in, and Mark Wahlberg's like, I got to go piss and whatever, and he takes over.
The guy who was the singer for
yeah,
Mark
that
Wahlberg?
Dude was good.
Milenko from Steelheart.
Who?
Milenko. That's his name, Milenko, because he's like Swedish or something.
He was hitting some
he's
crazy notes.
Remember
I'm like,
Steelheart,
what?
Like, like I can't sing it, but
three
he
people
hits
know
all
who you're talking about.
Well, it was I'll Never Let You Go. It was a big ballad, and he's a phenomenal singer. I saw him at a festival once. I saw Steelheart, and this is how you knew he was good. All the groupies backstage turned and were like, "Wait, who's that?" Like they stopped.
They ungroupified from the people that they had latched onto,
trying to get with the gentlemen that were backstage. They were like, "Whoa!"
When's the last time you go to a lot of this new music stuff that I go to? When's the last time you saw someone and it literally made you go, "Oh, okay"?
When I saw Shinedown for the first time, Brent, the lead singer, they played the Ryman last year, and he asked the entire audience to be quiet, and he sang a cappella, no mic. Just to be able to use the acoustics of the Ryman.
I remember Patrick walking in after Kaylee Hammock Remember, like you saw her and you were like, oh, she's the most amazing. And we had to have her in. Like literally 3 days later, he made sure she came in.
Oh, it was longer later than that. But yeah.
Well, that was the first time I saw Ingrid Andress. Ingrid Andress, I got to see her is very in a small little private thing. And I was just like, whoa, bring this girl in.
Yeah, she's great. I still remember I was at a place called the Station Inn for a tornado relief show for some tornadoes that had hit Kentucky. And they were doing a relief show in Nashville at the Station Inn. And there were a bunch of people. And I had a crush on this girl that I had met at a party. Like it was a friend's birthday party. And so I had been talking to her a little bit, trying to figure. And I saw her post on Facebook that she was going to be at this show. So I went to the show. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, just in case you accidentally bump into each other.
Hey, what are you doing here? And it was one of these things where she's like, my sister and my brother-in-law are singing at this show. And I was like, oh, okay, so they're probably not that good because it's your sister. Like, you know, like, you know, everybody's like, but whatever. I went, and it was a couple of cool people I'd kind of heard of playing. And then the very end, her sister and her sister's husband get on stage. And I very vividly remember sitting very near the back of the Station Inn and just looking at my phone, you know, like you do. This is 2012, I think. And then hearing this guy sing and going, oh my God, what is that? How is this? And her? And what is they? What are they doing?
And it was the Civil Wars.
No, it was Chris and Morgan Stapleton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd heard the name, but I'd never really seen him. And then seeing that night.
That was 2012. Nobody knew outside of like the insiders.
His album didn't come out that most people heard until 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We had him on the show like a year and a half later in 2013. This was literally just, I went and found everything I could find with that guy singing on it because people were telling me, oh, he's got tons of stuff out. And he was in this bluegrass band and he was in this rock band. Just recently, and like,
what made him just kind of pop?
Well, honestly, what made him just kind of pop was winning a bunch of CMA awards and then having one of the best performances.
But what made him win CMA awards?
If you remember, he did Drink a Beer with Luke Bryan on stage, and he sang backgrounds.
Yeah.
And it was for one of the award shows.
It was the CMAs, I think.
And Luke had just lost his brother or sister, I forget which one, and. I'm sorry, Luke, like he's listening. But he had just lost some loved ones, and like Chris Stapleton was singing in the background. We were all like, who's that guy hitting those high notes?
No, we knew who he was. We'd had him in the studio by then.
You knew.
No, we had had him on the show by then.
I'm saying people in general was like, who's that guy singing in the background?
Yeah, that didn't do it. And then the album came out, and everybody was talking about it. And the reason he won CMA Awards is because people who vote on the CMA Awards are the music industry. Including the other singers and musicians. And everybody thought he was the best singer in Nashville, so everyone voted for him.
I can tell you as outside, because I was not in the country music landscape at that time, what put him on everybody's map was he's up there with JT.
Yeah,
That was it. When you guys won the CMA that year and you were third row and you were like, it all.
I saw the whole thing. I remember before that happened, though, he won Best New Artist and he beat out Thomas Rhett and a couple other, like Sam Hunt, like big people. And I'm like, oh, there are probably people watching at home who have no idea who this guy is.
And they're going to be mad.
They're mad.
Yep.
And they're like, why did this guy just beat out Thomas Rhett and whoever else? So I'm like, they say before the commercial, and coming up, Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake will perform next. And I remember stopping and just thinking, please just let it be good. Let it be good enough so that people at home are like, oh, okay. All right. You know, and nobody's upset that he won Best New Artist and beat out their favorites because he is kind of somebody that most people have never heard of, even at that point. That album came out in May of 2015. They sold roughly 150,000 copies of it back when people used to actually buy records still, between May and November. So in 6 months, they sold 150,000 copies. From the moment they were on stage at 9 o'clock or whatever it was, Nashville time, until midnight the next night, which is when the chart closes. So in 28 hours, people downloaded 155,000 copies of that record. He sold more records in a day than he had sold in 6 months before that, after that performance.
Wow.
It was awesome. You were there. That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
It was a moment.
It was an absolute moment.
I was sitting next. I was So the seating was, I was sitting right next to Rascal Flatts, and they were in awe.
Oh, everybody was losing their mind.
All the artists were like in what? They were so pumped. Well, they all know him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so happy for him because I think they felt this is a guy who's better than we are and he doesn't get his mm-hmm. due. And here he is.
And he'd written songs for, I mean, he'd written a hit for Luke and he'd sang on his record. He'd written the song Thomas Rhett sang that night. Chris Stapleton wrote it. So, like, everybody knew him, but.
And he's just a great guy. He's so humble. Yeah. He's low key, and he makes you want to root for him.
But I go back to that moment in the middle of 2012, and I remember because a lot of the other people were there were already fans because there was a big buzz around him for years in Nashville, and I just had never seen him. And I remember looking around the room going, is the rest of you seeing this? Does everyone else know what's...
They're like, yeah, we know.
And they're all just kind of like, oh, yeah, man, Chris is great. And I was completely shocked
by
how good he
was. And I would like to thank Chris Stapleton for making Luke Combs possible. And the reason I say that is it's very true. Because Chris Stapleton, he was a bigger dude. And mm-hmm. at the time, there were no big guys singing country music. None. Chris Stapleton comes out. Now, he's lost a bunch of weight since then. But he comes out and just blows everybody's mind. He allowed, I really truly believe, he allowed guys like Luke Combs to get noticed because a lot of times record companies wouldn't even look at them. If you didn't have the look, if you weren't the perfect looking specimen,
I mean, seriously,
you would get passed
over.
Who's
the last big old dude?
Yeah.
Hank Jr.?
I mean, when he was a thing, in the, he wasn't a big old dude.
I mean, it had been a while, and Luke isn't fat. He's just normal. That just shows you how different
Chris Stapleton did lose like 100 pounds from the point. By the time you saw him, he had lost like 100 pounds. He was a much bigger dude.
When he was in here in the studio early on, before he had done the Tennessee whiskey and all mm-hmm. that and all,
no,
he was bigger than he was on the stage that night.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is by the time you met him, he had already lost like 75 to 100 pounds.
Wow.
He used to be much bigger. And then... Also, like the long beard and the long hair was not a fashionable look. And then by the time 2014 came around, mm-hmm. Duck Dynasty, man. There's people with long beards and long hair starting to come back. So it was something that they could sell again. But, yeah, that's why.
Do you know how he lost the weight? I'm just curious.
Oh, no, I don't know, actually.
Oh, I wondered.
I think he started
walking. I wonder what his diet plan was.
Don't we all?
Yes.
He started doing that thing where he counts his steps. Like, is before he was famous. This is just...
Yeah, just did it to be healthy.
Yeah. Speaking of steps and all that kind of stuff, I would like to go one more time back to the beginning when Big D was 378 pounds and now he is 364. I was 313 pounds and now I'm currently 293. Patrick was 362. He's now 339. And Carson was air, and now she's even less air because she won't tell us her weight.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I was.
She's been dropping, which is awesome.
I was at this poker table with. I play with the same 8 to 10 people every week, but there's always two or three. Like we have 6 or 7 regulars, and there's always a couple people that float in and out to fill up the table. There's this guy. He doesn't know me that well. I don't know him that well. And he's sitting there talking about this guy he works with and how unhealthy he is. He goes, and I mean, he's huge. He weighs like 340 pounds. And I'm sitting there, and I wanted to go, dude, I weigh 340 pounds. But it didn't even occur to him that he was just talking about how fat this guy was.
I was at the firehouse the other day, and one of the guys I was talking to, he goes, man, you lost a little weight. And I said, yeah. He goes, you're looking good. Okay. I'm like, okay. And I can't tell. But I said, yeah, I was 313 pounds. And he was blown away. He was like, you were three. He's like, I would have figured 270-ish or so, but yeah, it's so easy to blur those lines.
No, lucky me, I'm 340, but I only look like I'm about 310. So
hey, man, it makes a difference,
dude. You know what?
If you carry it well, you carry it well.
I told you I went to the doctor, and when she's shifting the weight on the scale,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh no, ma'am,
she keeps stopping because the nurse
and I go,
does that.
You're not even close. I'm like, let me just slide it for you. But like, thank you for being polite, or I'm flattered, but no.
You think they do that on purpose?
I do.
Yeah,
I think they're trying to be nice.
It's like their doctor's office version of when you walk into DXL and they go, do you know this is a big and tall store? Which I hate. I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, not only am I fat, lady, I am not that dumb. Like, you assume that everyone who's fat is also stupid?
They offered me a job. They didn't offer. She highly recommended I
apply.
What?
Yes.
I'll never forget. I was at the
to work there?
Yes.
Did they know that you did the radio show and all that too?
No.
So I usually go to the store. There's at least two that I know of in town. I usually go to the one south of town. And, you know, there's always some lady working there, some guy, you know, just normal. There's a guy on the north side of town in DXL, and this dude is huge. He's 6'4 and weighs like 450 pounds at least. And I'll never forget. They sold me so much clothes that day because everything I tried on, he was standing behind me. I'm looking in the mirror, and he's going, "That looks pretty good." And I'm looking at me and him in the mirror, and I'm going, "Yeah, I look. Look at me, man.
I look thin.
Yep.
That's the way to do it.
They ought to hire you a fat guy.
Yep.
To just stand there and make you look good in your clothes.
That's right.
That's why I used to tell girls when I was single, I'm like, you need a fat boyfriend. You want to feel good about yourself? Go walk into a place and I'm standing next to you, you're gonna look fabulous. It's good. It didn't ever work, but it should have worked.
I cannot get over hearing Big D's stomach. It has been rumbling.
Did you just hear it now?
Yes.
I know. I just
it sounds like thunder outside.
I think it's the milk.
Do you have the coronavirus?
I think I do. Dude, I walked in this morning first thing we do, we play the Star Spangled Banner, turn the microphones off, and I hear. I'm like, is it raining? And Big D's like, no. And then it happened again. I went, what is that? He goes, it's my stomach.
I don't know what the heck it is, man.
Did you do something different today?
No, I didn't.
You hungry?
I ate Indian food the other day.
No, it's not a hungry thing. I use a little bit more milk than I usually do. I don't know. Who knows? It's very sensitive. It's touch and go with me.
I was about to say, are you sensitive?
Are you lactose sensitive?
I think so, yeah.
Not intolerant, but sensitive.
He's just sensitive in general.
Like sometimes I like
he's
it like
sensitive about his lactose sensitivity.
I mean, I don't tolerate lactose in any form.
I get like a little bit of ice cream sometimes, and I'll be like, oof. No, I don't like it. It just hurts.
I ate some of that so coconut ice cream or whatever the other day as a cheat. It was good. It hit me good.
What is it?
And then it came back and hit me again later.
Yeah,
because
I ate the whole pint. Yeah, it's like coconut milk ice cream.
Ugh, no.
And I was like, you know, I just need something sweet. So I ran to the store and I'm like, I knew there was some stuff like that was out there. And I got that. But they use a lot of the, you know, Uctose, umtose, exotose, maltose, whatever stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm on
that. Haagen-Dazs is putting out their own version of, you know, that like the Halo Top that is 350 calories a pint. Haagen-Dazs is doing their own version of that.
350? They can get the other one. There's like a store brand that's like 220, I think.
I can't remember what the...
Per pint, which is great.
I can't remember what... There's a low-carb one, too, I've tried, man. It tastes like ice cream, but it's got the texture of powder.
Yeah, it's grainy.
So it's like ice cream mixed with sand. It's really not great.
I also think I'm defeating the purpose because I'll have like ice cream like that, and then I'll take like, you know, chocolate milk powder like from the Nestquick stuff. I'll put that on top.
Okay,
Just to make it taste better.
Why don't you just eat the straight powder? Why do you need ice cream?
Because it's better with the ice cream.
And then I used to just eat spoonfuls of Nestquick. Do you ever do that? It's great.
Once it melts, you can stir it up.
Yeah, but you're eating like... You're not eating real ice cream. Like I see doing it with real, but you're doing it with the stuff that's terrible
I'm at that point in my life.
Eat the powder.
I saw a comedian a while back. I can't remember his name. He said, he was a big dude. And he said, I didn't get this fat because someone told him to use zoodles instead of noodles. But I didn't
get this zoodles
fat because I eat noodles instead of zucchini zoodles. He goes, got this fat because I use Kit Kat bars instead of bread to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like, okay, yeah, that sounds like Bubba putting powdered cocoa on his ice cream.
What was it you guys had a problem with a couple weeks ago that I had eaten and y'all, it took like a week and a half
for us to forget that pork rind nachos?
Oh yeah, it was pork rinds and pimento cheese.
Pork rinds and pimento cheese.
That was awesome.
I'm dieting.
Yeah.
There's me on my
diet. Have I lost weight since then? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So there.
So great to have President Trump in my hometown today.
Yeah, man.
Looking over the tornado damage and there with both the K county president and the city, mayor and the city mayor.
And the governor.
And the governor and his wife. And it was just really cool. And it's the first time a sitting president's ever been in Cookeville and Putnam County ever. And so it was a real honor to have the president in Cookeville today and just kind of getting a firsthand account of, and he spent quite a bit of time. And the other thing is he didn't spend, he landed in Nashville, Air Force One at Nashville International. And then, they bring in, they ship the helicopters in. They're on.
They go ahead.
Yeah. They don't fly those in. Those are shipped in airplanes, in cargo.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And then it's including efficient. The motorcade as well. All the cars.
I knew they shipped all the cars and stuff. I didn't know they brought the helicopter.
C5 Galaxy is an amazing, gigantic,
my brother
humongous
used to work
thing.
On the engines in those in the Air Force. Yeah.
So they bring all that stuff in, and so it comes in a couple of days ahead of time, and then he walks straight to it, gets on Marine One, and goes up and sees the damage around Nashville, East Nashville, and out towards Lebanon and Wilson County, and then. He just kept on going all the way on down to Cookeville and then landed and did his main stay in Cookeville, in Putnam County. And everyone was like, even people in, even my friends were like, I don't know. I think he's probably going to just go to Nashville and not go to Cookeville.
Well, Nashville's the bigger story because it's the tourist mecca and it's the country music thing and it's where the stars are. It's the glamorous thing.
Yeah, it's
and
right.
Cookeville, Tennessee is not the glamorous answer. It's not.
No.
It's not where you go to run into Brad Pitt at a restaurant.
But it is where the most damage was.
I'm not sure you're going to run to Brad Pitt in a restaurant in Nashville. Brad Paisley, maybe.
I have a friend who ran into Tom Cruise at a restaurant.
But
I
Tom mean, Cruise comes to Nashville. Tom Cruise comes to Nashville because his ex-wife and his kids live here. So,
anyway,
Brad Pitt.
I thought it was really cool that they went and, they went to the area that was the hardest hit. And I'm not taking anything away from those in the Nashville area that lost their homes and their lives and their family members, et cetera. I'm just saying they went to, cool that
by,
they went to the less glamorous thing. I mean, kudos to whether it's this president or prior president or future president, go into the place with the most damage rather than go into the place with the more sex appeal is pretty awesome.
On my way home yesterday, I drove by John Toon Airport and the old prison. You can see the old state prison from the highway, and it doesn't look good.
The prison's really in bad shape.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
I mean, they're not
going
to. I mean, you don't. It's not being used.
It's the place where they filmed the Green Mile and some other movies.
Yeah, they had some state workers who were working in it, and using part of it as offices now because it's just state property that was being unused. But I don't think they're going to be able to do any. Maybe they can salvage the front part that looks like a castle, but the rest of it's going to have to. They've been dragging their feet on doing something with it, because it's this weird thing.
It's like an Alcatraz kind of place.
Building that we're not using, but it's really old and historical, so we don't want to tear it down, but we don't let anybody go see it because it's,
not in great shape.
Things like Alcatraz, for example, how is that such a huge draw? Why are we drawn to places like old prisons and things like that? Because it's the exact same thing. There's old prisons all over the country that we kind of go, man, that's such a cool building.
How many of them are tourist?
I think part of Alcatraz has the appeal of, the location. It's just that it really, is out on its own in the middle of the bay. But also, it had Al Capone, and people are still romantic about him and the history
Did
and
it?
Gangsters.
Was he there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We were there for like a hot minute, I think. So,
yeah. Alcatraz just looks like a cool, it's got a cool story.
Didn't
you got to take a boat
Cash
to get there?
Record a TV special there, with prisoners or something?
I don't think so. Not at Alcatraz. I think you're thinking of
San Quentin.
He did his albums at San Quentin.
He did Folsom.
I know Folsom, but did he do? Maybe he did Alcatraz. I don't know.
Because, there hadn't been prisoners at Alcatraz.
That's what I thought.
It'd
been a long time.
I'm looking. I won't be able to find it. Not in time. Nobody cares.
Anyhow.
Oh, yeah, he did. That same prison that you were just talking about, he did a concert with Roy Clark and Linda Ronstadt in 1978.
Tennessee prison?
Yes. Yeah, see? There you go.
Well, there you go.
Linda Ronstadt was awesome. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the documentary on her?
I did not see that.
It's amazing. Very sad. What? Why?
Isn't she like... Is Linda Ronstadt the woman, like, she's got all the health problems now?
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, still, you see what she accomplished.
There's yeah, nothing, no, I know.
I don't know. Just, I don't get sad and go, poor person, look where they are now. I like to celebrate who they were. Hmm. And I don't really get caught up in who they became often. Okay.
What?
I like my son and I listen to old Michael Jackson, and there's some jams, dude. That Off the Wall album is.
Don't get Carson started on Michael Jackson.
It's one of the greatest. Man,
she'll get us in trouble. She'll go that far.
I know. I'm just saying. I get it. And I go, man, the Off the Wall album, the Thriller album, those were great.
I mean, Bad is spectacular.
I didn't like Bad.
Well, you're wrong.
Bad got too pop. I like it when it was a little more dance, a little more R&B.
The Bad record is awesome. It is.
I mean, because to be fair, like, Thriller has a couple of clunkers, including Thriller, which I happen to love, but it had not been for the video that went with it, Thriller ain't a great song.
Anyway, just going it's back really to not, the point
right?
here.
You're welcome.
Going back to the
I've
point.
I've changed it for you.
I can sit here and judge Michael Jackson by what we know today, or I can appreciate the music that he made in his heyday. Mm-hmm. And I would rather listen to those old jams and try to separate the two.
Would you go with it? Go with it, jam?
What, the song?
Is that a song?
It's Michael Jackson. Yeah. Go with it, Jay. Yeah.
I caught it, and I was like, wow, you did
if
that.
You're listening, and you're thinking, I haven't heard Big D in a while. It's because we lost him.
Yep.
completely checked
He's
out.
He's like, well.
I got all kinds of stuff going on at my house, and I'm trying to.
What now?
Yeah, some weekend, but yeah. I got some work being done.
What are you
at your
doing?
House?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing all weekend, trying to get my house ready so I can sell it. And... Not that you're selling your house. But
can't
like,
you
yeah.
just sell a house as is and you say
you
take
can,
it?
You can, but there's some stuff that costs less than it will cost you. You know right. what I mean? Like, I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars just to hopefully get a few thousand dollars more. But there's some stuff like pressure washing it. If you don't pressure wash the house, it's going to look, you know,
dingy
and so it's going to cost
my
you
house,
money.
I installed new carpet, and I think it cost me under $1,500. But the difference it made, it made it look like brand new.
When did you get new carpet for $1,500?
Oh, I went to Lowe's and I was like, all right, I want to see the square footage and I want to see the cheapest one. And they're trying to sell me other stuff. I'm like, no, that one for like 90
you
cents.
Put it in
looks
yourself?
Great.
With like, you know?
No, I think it was, they were running some sort of deal and my mom had a Lowe's card. And because she was like, I gave her the money, but she put it on her car. I don't know. It was a whole thing. And frankly, I got it for cheap. And realtor walked in. He's like, whoa, look at this. And I had painted the walls and it looked like, even though it was a house that was probably 25 years old, it looked pretty new.
A good coat of paint is the best.
Yeah.
What, have you painted your walls interior?
And we're doing some of that this weekend. Like,
nice.
Some of the walls, the paint is fine. But like in one of the bathrooms, it just needs... It's just,
sometimes it's not that the paint's in bad shape. It's just the colors are out of
date.
The colors are dated in my house. They are.
Yeah, we're doing the whole...
I have to do my kitchen eventually. My kitchen is so 15 years ago.
Yeah, that happens. Because it's a 15-year-old house.
What are you
but
doing
my,
in
my
your
point
house,
is, my point is not to actually touch it until I go to sell it, because then it'll be, you know,
right.
Yeah. No, I'm having my side deck redone. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of trees that came down.
Yeah.
From storm, so I've got I got to get those cut up, and I got to split those logs. I got to burn. I just got
to
burn stuff.
Okay, you say you've got to. Do you mean you're going to do it, or you're going to have somebody do it?
No, I'm gonna have someone do it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not like I really was picturing you out there with an axe. And...
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I with chainsaw,
like a lumberjack.
I do like chainsaw stuff, but my chainsaw blade is getting redone.
Because
it's dulled and down. But yeah, the thing is that what I noticed the other day was, you know, everyone goes, "What's it like?" You know, with the tornadoes and that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what it's like. It's the smell of wood burning and helicopters in the air and tons of trucks lined up and staging to come into an area. That's what it's like. It's the you look at all of the just the – I mean, besides the loss of life and, like, homes and stuff, when you start just driving down the interstate and you see just – trees that are just splintered just looks like looks like God took his hand down and just went and just spun them and mm-hmm. then just splintered them all up. And you can just watch where the tornado was. You can see how it went across the interstate, hit the other side, crossed back over, went up, came back down, hit Cookeville. It's bad. And, you know, especially in the area of Cookeville in Putnam County where it hit, it just went home. Just hit the wrong spot, man. And, you know,
stories coming out about survival, people who somehow managed to ride it out while being hit is nothing short of miraculous.
It's unbelievable.
When they tell these stories and you're just, your jaw's on the floor going, how are you speaking? And how are you, you know, it's just, how are you alive? But also you're just here talking about it because, you know, you were able to not just survive, but come through with maybe a few bruises. Just some of those stories are really hit you and just how fragile everything is.
One of the ones that I really hit me was the story of the family. And they're in Putnam County, too. And he was holding on to his kids, and one of them just flew out. Sucked him out of his arms and threw him, you know, pretty far away, but he's fine. He was injured, but he's going to live.
Wow.
So that's good news.
That
but
is.
Yeah, there's so much pressure and there's so much power mm-hmm. in that. You think that you can hold on. There was a mom who she had one kid in one arm, one in the other, like next to her, and they got thrown and landed. They're fine. But the doctors were like, you actually bruised their ribs because you squeezed them so, you know, she was squeezing them so tight.
Yeah.
And I also want to say thanks to Cookeville Regional Medical Center, the hospital. They're not charging anybody for any of the going to hospital stays. They're just going to write it all off.
That's phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of people. It's like mm-hmm. 80, 90 something people who are injured. And for the hospital to, you know, hospital, I mean, that's business.
Their money. That's how
business,
they make,
sure.
That's how they pay their bills.
And for them to say, you know what, we're not going to charge anyone. I mean, wow.
And I'm sure the staff there is working just beyond hours
yeah,
that you would ever would have thought were.
All the people that, you know, you think about, oh, who are going to help? There's so many people. You know, the other morning, you know, we're like, hey, if you want to volunteer, you know, show up at the Hobby Lobby parking lot. Well, it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Packed. People, you couldn't park in the Hobby Lobby parking lot. You had to park across the street or down the street. And then the next day, same thing. Next day, same thing. They're asking people, you know, don't just show up. We need you to email first and then show up. That way they can kind of keep track and all that kind of stuff.
I've seen a few of them that say, hey, we appreciate it, but we're full for tomorrow, which... What an amazing thing that is.
Well, everyone goes, how can you be full? Well, they're full because the buses are full. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't let you drive in.
That area
is blocked off, and so they stage outside of it, go on a bus, and then go in. For one thing, you don't want to drive in there. You'll mm-mm. bust your tires up because there's so much stuff on the road. Freaky Dave, my bud, who's on the air, was like, he went through two tires in 2 days. And finally, he's like, why? Well, he lives there. He has to go in. Mm-hmm. His house was hit. And so he has to go in and take care. And, you know, but yeah, it's a. And then you get all the looters, the guys that just got busted for stealing copper
mm-hmm.
from these homes. And he
the cops show up and the guy's looking.
He goes, oh, I'm just trying to help people.
Yeah, no, it really is the lowest of the low.
Tase.
Tase. You guys
release
are way too nice.
Yes,
well, they had one. There was one store that got hit, and they said they got there like first thing in the morning, and of course the tornadoes hit in the overnight. And they said by the time they got there, which was maybe a few hours later, when sunlight hit, that they had already been ransacked. Mm. It wasn't that the tornado blew stuff away, and I guess even in their cash register, you could see that somebody had gotten in, and the till was absolutely 100% empty. Wow. Really?
Like, who does that?
Yeah, dude. That's
seriously.
Just gross.
That makes you, like, the lowest of the low. To go mm-hmm. and steal from people in their time
who literally
of disaster.
Lost everything, and nope, you found a way to take more.
And something that doesn't get thought of a lot is like the pets and things like that. I mean, a lot of people talking about the human costs, but think about all the pets that are now homeless, you know, mm-hmm. whether they're separated from their families or whatever. I mean, you're talking about the storm picking up the kids and taking them out, but I mean, dude, you've got cats and dogs who are flung all over the place. I mean, that's crazy, too, when you think about that. As animal lovers, I think all of us are kind of,
well, I know there's a lot of rescues that have been providing little daily packs for people who did manage, who have lost everything, but they still have their family and their pets with them, and saying, like, here's food for your dog, for your cat, here's a leash. And a lot of them are massive.
Leashes and collars.
Yeah,
and
I went in, because I donated through an Amazon wish list yesterday to a bunch of pet stuff that was needed, because to be able to hold on to some semblance of your family and your reality when everything else is gone is literally the least I can do.
And also, if you have kids, those pets are, you know, you think teddy bears and things like that mean a lot to your child. Fluffy means a ton to your child in a moment like this where you're having to rebuild and you're living out of whether it's a hotel, a motel, a trailer, whatever it may be at the time, you know, anything and everything that can tie back to that time of normalcy, especially for those kids. Those pets are very, very, very important. So
if you're listening and you would like to help, we're asking you, there are Cookeville, so there's a fund that the Cookeville Putnam County Tornado Fund has, and that is one, and it's a great one. They get over $125,000 in the first 24 hours. Mm-hmm. It is a great
one. But that's
one.
Only going to go so far, because this is millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damage.
Yeah, we know. I'm
just saying. I'm trying to implore people to.
When you're donating money, you're not donating to repair that. That's what insurance and things like that are for. You're donating for recovery efforts and short-term holdovers and things. Yeah. You know,
The Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee's Emergency Response Fund has been activated. You can donate. That's the one that we've been pushing on the show. It's cfmt.org, cfmt.org. If you want to, you can also donate by texting Nashville Strong to 68683. 68683, Nashville Strong.
And what does that donate? What is it?
Well, they'll send you a thing, and then you can check
how much you want. Okay.
Yeah, they don't just, yeah. And then, like I said, cfmt.org, you can go there. We like that because they vet where the money goes. It's like a grant. And so they are doling out that money. And the money doesn't go – you're not paying for a CEO's salary. All the money from that goes directly to the ground level effort. So cfmt.org or Nashville Strong to 68683.
All right.
So there you go. Also, how about Tito's Vodka? They are matching donations as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They've already up to $25,000.
Wow.
Awesome.
So
that's
so
really
thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Tito's. We appreciate that. But, yeah, everyone who has been sending well wishes and prayers, it is much appreciated. We are not the ones who go, oh, yeah, your prayers and well wishes, what are they going to get you? No, we're not those people. We say thank you.
We appreciate the thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Once again, I also want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day, for supporting the podcast and helping us bring this to you. It is cool to be able to have a little extra show at the end of the week to kind of wrap it up and decompress and kind of get anything else that might have felt like it was unsaid, said. We done?
Yep, we're done. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.